That's awesome. Look at you. See, it's not so scary up front, is it? It's just something about church. People like, they're afraid of the front. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 140? Psalm 140. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we're so grateful again to have this opportunity and as we sit at the table tonight. We are mindful of the tremendous sacrifice you made that we might be saved. Thank you for being our Lord and our Savior, and thank you for having good plans for our lives. Lord, bless this time in your word. And Lord, we prepare our hearts. We prepare our hearts to partake of these elements. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 1937, the great Golden Gate Bridge was completed. It cost $77 million, a great feat, a great civil engineering feat. That bridge was completed in two phases, and the first phase went really, really slow. And in fact, it even ground to a halt because 23 men lost their lives. They plunged to their death. And so a lot of people were paralyzed when they were working on that bridge, and the work came to a standstill. So finally, some ingenious person said, we need to put up a safety net. And so they put together for $100,000 the largest net ever built. And they hung that net underneath the workmen. That net saved the lives of 10 men who fell, but they were caught in the net. And guess what happened? The work proceeded 25% quicker. Why? Because the men had the assurance of their safety. And they were free to wholeheartedly serve the project. You know, when you're safe, you thrive. When you have a feeling of security in life, you thrive. And if you have a safety net in this life, a reliable one, you're going to live confidently. God is going to do amazing things in your life. If you don't have a safety net in your life, then you're going to live paranoid. You're going to live in a place of fear. You're going to live, you know, walking on eggshells, worried about all these things that you might face in life. Christian, we have a safety net, though, don't we? A reliable one. Jesus. Jesus is our rock. He's our shield. He's our fortress. We are covered in him as Christians, so we should be living life confidently. Not worried about things like other people worry about. I want you to see four psalms that David wrote before we partake of these elements tonight. And, you know, talk about a guy who lived a great life, a confident life, somebody who was used mightily by the Lord. He lived such an awesome life because he was confident in the Lord. He had that safety net. He was dependent upon the Lord. Notice what we read in Psalm 140. David is writing. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. David, being a high-profile leader as king of Israel, had many enemies. He had lots of people in his life that wanted to do him harm. There was a 10-year period when he was being chased around in the wilderness by his father-in-law, the first king of Israel, King Saul. For 10 years, David was running for his life, taking shelter in caves out in the wilderness area, and not just being chased by a few men, but being chased by an army. Now, I've had some tough times in my life, but I've never had an army chasing me around the wilderness. David experienced that. And then when David became king, he had lots of enemies, the Philistines, the Amorites. There were lots of people that wanted David dead. And as you study the life of David, you also find out that he had many enemies within. David had enemies that he was aware of. He also had enemies that he wasn't aware of, who were working behind the scenes, talking about him, setting traps for him. David was a target. Lots of enemies. David was betrayed by a best friend. David was betrayed by his son. Imagine that, parent. Having an old member of your family be an enemy. What did David do with that, though? Verse 6. I said to the Lord, "You are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked scheme, lest they be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." With all those enemies in his life, David brought all of that to the Lord. He found all of his confidence in the Lord. And if you read through the life of David, you find out all these enemies were after him, but they were never allowed to succeed. God was watching his back. The Lord was protecting him from enemies that he didn't even know about. Nobody was allowed to kill him. He died of a good old age while serving as king of Israel, being able to peacefully give the kingdom to his son. He had that protection. Christian, you have that same protection. As Christians, we do have enemies, don't we? There are people that want to do us harm because we're Christians. Maybe you work with somebody and they know you're a Christian, and they're trying to pull you down at work. Maybe there's people working behind the scenes to create problems for you. But you know what? You have the Lord. Nobody pulls the wool over the eyes of the Lord. Amen? He's got the back of his people. Now, you remember that. As a Christian, you do not have to live this paranoid life, suspicious of all these people in your life. Ooh, what are they saying? What are they doing? You don't have to live looking for people to hurt you, worried about all the different personalities. Listen, follow the Lord Do what you know to be right. He'll protect you. He'll protect you. You have that protection in your life. You know, you could say that God's the ultimate bodyguard. God's your bodyguard. Nothing's going to get at you which doesn't first pass through him. And by the way, David had a lot of physical enemies, a lot of human enemies, but he also had spiritual enemies. And as Christians, we have spiritual enemies, don't we? There is a real devil, and there are real demons. And the scripture is absolutely clear. You and I, as Christians, live in the midst of spiritual warfare. And the devil is a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There are things going on behind the scenes that we have no knowledge of. But your God's protecting you. You do not have to live in fear. So live confidently. Do his work. Know that you're safe. Look what David writes in Psalm 141. He says, Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening's sacrifice. Lord, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Boy, how many of us need that? Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity. And do not let me eat of their delicacies. In Psalm 140, David's asking God to deliver him from these external enemies. Here in Psalm 141, David is asking God to protect him from himself. He's saying, Lord, I know my heart. I know my tendency. I have a tendency to open my big mouth and to use words carelessly. Lord, I have a tendency to engage in gossip, to lie, to verbally abuse others. Lord, as your servant, guard my lips. David says to the Lord, I have a tendency, it's very easy for me to begin living a wicked lifestyle. It's very easy for me to get caught up in the things of the world. David says, Lord, protect me from that. Protect me from myself. Verse 5, he says, let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. David is saying, I know my tendency. I can get off track. And if I ever get off track, God, send one of your righteous servants to me and have them rebuke me. Have them steer me on the right course. By the way, if you have a friend as a Christian who is willing to rebuke you when you get off track, you have a great friend. If you only have a friend that will tell you what you want to hear, he's not that good of a friend. David is saying, I know myself. I have a tendency to get off track. Lord, put a guard over my life and send righteous people to correct me when I get off track. He goes on and says, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Verse 6, the judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, and when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord, in you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they've laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. Basically, what David is saying in this psalm is, I'm going to keep following the Lord. I'm going to rely upon him. I'm going to tell others about him. I'm going to take my refuge in him. But I also know myself. And I know that I need God's protection over my lips and over my life, because I can blow it. This is exactly what Paul the Apostle would write in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul wrote, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." My brothers and sisters in Christ, there are so many people that make choices. They make sinful choices with their life, and they bring such destruction upon their lives. How many people do we know that get involved in drugs or alcohol or the party scene, and they totally destroy their life through that? How many people do we know that make horrible decisions concerning money? Maybe they love money. They'll do anything for money. And they end up stealing, lying, cheating for money. And they destroy their life. There are people that make unwise decisions sexually. And they destroy their lives. The life of sin can bring absolute destruction. Now, as a Christian, we've been saved from that. Amen? See, you give your life to Christ, and he washes away all of your sins, and you become born again. And the Bible says that you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you can walk by the Spirit, and you can actually live a life freed from bondage to sin. When God saves a person, he also cleans that person's life up. And so if you're a Christian, you are protected from a destructive life. And Christian, listen, always realize, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, you can still blow it, can't you? That's why David says, keep a guard. Don't ever get to a point as a Christian where you think you've plateaued. Man, don't ever get to the point as a Christian when you say, I've got it made. I'm not worried about temptation anymore. No, always be on your guard. But I want you to know tonight that you have a Lord who is committed to keeping you on the right path. The path of holiness, which is the best life. See, the Lord will take our life, clean it up, and change it from being a destructive life into a beautiful life that edifies other people. God has that for you. Look at the heading of Psalm 142. It says, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. This is a prayer that a psalm that David wrote when he was being chased by his father-in-law and Saul around in the wilderness. He had to live in a cave. And think of that, trapped in a cave, having to live like a caveman. Notice how horrible he feels. Verse 1. He says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Look at Look at this. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. When David wrote this prayer, he was depressed. He was in a state of despair. He says, my spirit is overwhelmed. I'm low. I feel all alone. I feel trapped. And you can understand that. He's in a cave. Life has thrown David a curveball that he didn't see coming. Had no idea that this would happen. And so he's at a point in his life, he's sitting in his cave and he's moping. Life has caved in for him. He's bummed, down, depressed. And you've seen many Psalms where David starts out that way. But with that depression, with that anguish, he goes to the Lord, doesn't he? He pours all that out to the Lord. And by the end of the Psalm, verse 7, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. By the end of the psalm, he's feeling hopeful. By the end of the psalm, things have changed. By the end of the psalm, he's become positive. How many people do you know who are struggling with depression, physical or emotional trauma, anguish? Many, many people, they get caught up in that place where they almost become paralyzed. But you understand that if God, if you are a Christian, he can meet you there. And you may be here tonight and you're feeling so low. I pray that God would meet you here. I have found in my life that the greatest counselor in my life is God. There have been times where I have been so down in my life, and I have the most awesome wife. I can go complain and whine to her. Honey, I don't like what's going on. And she has great words of encouragement for me. Or I may talk to a friend. But you know what I found to be most effective? Pouring all that out at the feet of God. And I am telling you, God will meet us there. He will fill us with hope. You do not have to live a life of depression, despair. If you're a Christian here tonight and you're feeling low, I want to remind you of how much you are loved. And you understand tonight, the promise of God towards you is, I know the thoughts that I have. I know the plans that I have for you. Not things that are evil, but things that are good. You hang on. There's going to be some tough days as Christians, no doubt. But we have a God who is committed to taking us by the hand, getting us through those down times. Aren't you glad you have the Lord in times like that? Again, there's a lot of people, well, they'll turn to the bottle. So I'll just try to drown out all my sorrows with a bottle. Well, you know what? Sorrows swim. I'll just try to escape through some drug. I'll try to escape through entertainment. I'll try to escape through whatever people try. Christian, if you have the Lord, he is the one who can lift up your countenance. He's the one who gives you peace in the midst of the most toughest of circumstances. Look over at Psalm 143. David says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. Now, did you notice that? He says, Lord, I'm coming to you on the basis of your faithfulness and righteousness, not because I am. In your sight, no one living is righteous. If I were to try to come in my own righteousness to God, it wouldn't work, right? What does he cry out for? Verse 3. The enemy has persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He's made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. It is believed that David wrote this psalm as he was facing death. He was on his deathbed. He had an enemy that was closing in. He wrote this psalm not knowing whether he would live another day. He's crying out to the Lord. Verse 8, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. There were many times that David literally faced death. Literally staring death in the eye. And there were many times in his life where God spared his life. Allowed him deliverance, allowed him to keep living. Man, in the face of death, what's your security blanket? David did eventually die. He did eventually breathe his last. And since the Lord was his shepherd, David went to heaven. If you're a Christian, you do not have to fear death. If you're a Christian, when it comes time to face death, the Lord will be there for you. In fact, we know because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. The moment a Christian dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord. Your last breath on earth is followed by your first breath in heaven. You go to be with the Lord, and you have the hope of heaven for all of eternity. And the Bible says that one day you'll be resurrected. And you'll get a brand new body. Much improved over the ones we currently have. And you will live for all of eternity in God's heavenly kingdom, where there will be no more death, pain. Talk about a shelter. Most people, they're paralyzed, traumatized, terrified of death. As a Christian, you don't have to be terrified of death. Your Lord is going to be there for you. And let me tell you, if you are prepared to die, only then are you prepared to live. If you're not afraid of death, then you can go live. You don't have to be paranoid. We are so blessed as Christians, aren't we? If you're a Christian here tonight, God is your protection. He is protecting you from enemies in your life, human and spiritual. He is there willing to protect you from yourself. He is there willing and able to protect us from depression and lead us and grab us up out of the pit of depression. And he will be there for us at the moment we die. Knowing that, man, let's go live, amen? We've got it made. God protects us. He hedges us in. This way, that way, forward, backward, above, below, hedged in, protected. This life, the moment of death, for all of eternity. Going back to that Golden Gate Bridge, I read that there were three different loads that they had to contend with when they were designing that bridge. The first load was called the dead load, and that was just the weight of the bridge itself. So engineers had to put enough bracing and whatnot just to carry the weight of the bridge. Then there was the live load, and that was to keep in mind and account for the weight of not only the bridge, but also the traffic that would be going over the bridge. And then there was also the wind load. So the bridge had to be constructed and braced to handle all of those loads. And they did that with great expertise. In our lives too, as Christians, we need bracings which make it possible to carry the dead load of self, the live load of daily living, and the wind load of emergencies. When we place our trust in Christ, he gives us the strength we need to withstand these various stresses. He thus gives our lives usefulness, stability, and durability. Are you living in that confidence tonight? God wants us to live in confidence. And I remind you tonight that all that has been made possible for every one of us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We sit at a table tonight to remember the sacrifice that was paid by Christ so that we could have all of our sins forgiven and become a child in his family, saved both now and forevermore. Some might be here tonight and you might be thinking, well, I want that protection. I want that assurance. How do I come into a relationship with God like that? The Bible's very clear. You come into a relationship with God by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it is our sin that separates us from God. And in order to get into his family and into his kingdom, all your sins must be washed away. And God has made that possible through the sending of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who came and offered himself up on the cross, who took my sins upon him, your sins upon him, and died in our place. Rose again on the third day, and the scripture says, if you place your faith in him, all of your sins will be forgiven. You become his child. You enter into that protection. But you need to make that decision. We're going to be distributing these elements in just a few moments, and we're just going to go into a time of prayer and reverence before the Lord. I'm going to ask that you would hold these elements, and we'll all partake of them together. Partaking of these elements doesn't save you. Those who are saved partake of these elements. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've gotten right with God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, then I invite you to join. If you have not, I invite you to receive Christ right now that you might partake with us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord, you are our strong tower. You are our mighty fortress. You are our shelter. By your sacrifice, you have made it possible for our sins to be forgiven. We are saved from punishment, from condemnation. Lord, we recognize that you have a plan for our lives and that you are protecting us. From enemies seen and unseen. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that we would live those lives that are separated unto you. Protect us, Lord, from destructive lifestyles. Thank you, Lord, that you have defeated death for us. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just fill your people tonight, no matter what they're facing, with great confidence and great thanksgiving for all that you've done. If you're here tonight and you've never received Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Ask him to be your Savior right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. Wash all my sins away. Make me your child. Make me born again. Those who are going to help me distribute these elements, why don't you come on up?